Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
Yes, indeed, everybody. Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser along with Corey Johnson. Coming up, we're going to take a technical look at the markets, Corey.
Yeah, these are interesting times. The market's hitting new highs.
The trading range is limited here, so we'll take a look at that as well. But first, let's get the latest in business news headlines from Charlie Pellick. Charlie.
You have the Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ. They're all trading higher right now, with the S&P 500 index up 3 points to 2205, up 0.2%. NASDAQ is up 14 to 5383, a gain there of 0.3%. Dow Industrials up 20, a gain of 0.1%. But the major indexes and averages are close to records as traders digest encouraging data on gross domestic product growth and real estate as they look for hints about the strength of the economy ahead of Friday's payrolls report. That number out 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Complete coverage for before and after the report here on Bloomberg Radio. Christian Schultz is Director of European Research at Citigroup Global Markets, and on Bloomberg Television this morning, he talked about global growth projections heading into 2017.
So next year is a bit of a year where we expect things to get much better in advanced economies, perhaps because of U.S. policy changes into 2018 and beyond. But at least in the short term, actually, a higher dollar will drive down growth and inflation in the U.S. Perhaps there's still some uncertainty around. There's certainly political risks in Europe, plenty of them. So it may be sort of an in-between year on the road to something significantly better.
We've got the 10-year up 4/32, yield there 2.3%. Gold down 290 the ounce to 1187, a drop there of 0.2%. Dow Industrials down 3.8%, down $1.78 a barrel to $45.29. Tiffany shares are up the most in 3 months after improving sales in China and Japan, signal that the worst of the global luxury market's downturn may be over. Tiffany shares, they're advancing now by 3.2%. Oil, a big story today. A lot of doubts about any OPEC agreement. We've got crude oil down 3.8%, $45.29 a barrel on West Texas Intermediate crude. 3:32 on Wall Street. Now a look at the other stories making news.
Thank you, Charlie. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Pim Fox. This news update is brought to you by Withum Smith & Brown, CPAs, audit, tax, and advisory services, helping you and your business be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com. President-elect Donald Trump has named a staunch critic of the Affordable Care Act to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Six-term Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price is also an orthopedic surgeon. Former HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius appeared on Bloomberg Markets.
It would be wonderful if there is a plan to fully insure the individuals, the 20 million people who now have insurance through various programs, and lower the cost. I think that would be a widely applauded move.
Trump spokesman Jason Miller says Price will make health care legislation his top priority.
Obamacare is absolutely imploding, and that's why we need to repeal and replace Obamacare. So Dr. Tom Price, chairman of the House Budget Committee, also a member of Ways and Means, every cycle for the last several cycles introduced very solid replacement health care option bills, and that's one of the things he's going to lead the charge on as far as the Secretary of HHS.
Neighbors of Abdul Razak Ali Artan say they were shocked to learn the Ohio State University student was responsible for Monday's attack on campus.
This is very astonishing. You don't know what people are up to now.
The New York Mets have reached an agreement to re-sign slugging outfielder Yoenis Cespedes. That's according to the New York Post and Fox Sports. The deal is worth $110 million over 4 years. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pim Fox. This is Bloomberg. Charlie.
And we thank you very much. And again, recapping, the Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ all trading higher right now, close to records, with the S&P 500 index up 3 to 2205, a gain there of 0.2%. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pell. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio.
about money in motion in his latest newsletter. Carter Worth is back with us, head of technical analysis over at Cornerstone Macro, and he joins us on the phone in New York City. Nice to have you back here on Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Carter.
Hey, talk to us about what money in motion and what's kind of moving around here that's caught your attention.
Yeah, I mean, so that just happens to be the title of the weekly piece, Money in Motion, for the last 20 years. But the Monday's effort focused on just the spread of late between raw industrial commodities and foodstuffs. And so if you look at the data going back to the inception of some of the charts in 1980, a 35-year period, if ever there has been a circumstance where raw industrials are up by 15% or more at the same time that foodstuff down by that amount, so a 3,000 basis point spread, that's a very rare circumstance. It only happened about five times in history. And what happens going forward, interestingly, is that almost without exception, whether it's a 1-, 2-, 3-week basis or a 3-, 4-, 5-, 8-, 10-, 1-year, month basis, 1-year basis, at this point, the spread is so wide that it is right to actually be very contrarian or to play for mean reversion, specifically betting on foodstuffs and fading industrial commodities. Now, we know why it happened, right? It's the election. It's the belief of big infrastructure spending. And so whether it's zinc or copper or other tin and aluminum, other things, they're ahead of themselves, and so are a lot of the stocks, at least by my work, and the data also suggests this.
So you're looking at what's been kind of left behind here.
That's right. And so there are some important ag names that have, I think, a lot of potential, something like a Potash or an Agrium, AGU, things that have bottomed but have not participated to the extent that certain steel stocks, whereas you have something like an AK Steel having moved from 2 to 9. I would say pricing in a great deal of what might be coming, whereas you have laggards, again, RCF industries that are at multi-year, if not decade lows, and that have much more catch-up potential. So it's really just a mean reversion trade, and it's obviously news-related because of what's gone on or what's perceived to have becoming in terms of the election.
And it's interesting too, because it sounds like you're doing both business and economic analysis, not just technical analysis here.
Well, in a way, markets are that, right? I mean, they always refer to copper as Dr. Copper. I mean, there's wisdom in price, and in principle, there are a lot of people trying to figure out the economy, but they don't bet on GDP or CPI. They bet on stocks. And so the stock price and price action is, in many ways, it's the greatest leading indicator of all.
It's interesting too. I mean, you know, there's of course the classic argument of efficient markets or not, but it does seem to me that there are some changes here. Is there any sense, however, we've seen a little bit in the markets this week, the belief that maybe we might have gotten a little ahead of ourselves imagining all these rosy projections of what would happen under a Trump administration for the economy, and I wonder if the stock prices are showing you anything that may also indicate things may be getting ahead of themselves.
Well, I think they have, and that's accounting for the spread most notably in some of these raw industrial commodities and commodity-related stocks. When you have certain steel names and certain copper names up, 4 and 5X, they are pricing in a lot of the good things that might be coming. They're prospective good things. We don't know if they'll be accomplished, but not pricing in any of the negative things, obviously, whether it's trade wars or what have you. So I think if your thinking is a bit of ahead of itself, I concur. That's really the bet here. We know this. The Russell 2000 Index just accomplished something it's only done 4 times in its history, went up 15 sessions in a row. Now, yesterday was down, but after preceding that, only 4 other times in history has it managed such a thing. So the question is, having done that, up 16% from the pre-election to Friday's close, is it a little ahead of itself?
It is.
Surely it has to be.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now, it's interesting because, as you said, you know, you went back to the early 1980s to take a look at this divergence, and it's played out every time whenever you've seen such a big gap between the CRB foodstuff and the CRB raw industrials. It's just played out automatically when the gap is this large.
Quite something. I mean, and
yeah.
that's You know, I think, yeah, it's telling. It's just that things get crowded, right? I mean, at some point, who's the incremental buyer here? Everyone's made the bet, laid their bets that this is all systems go for, you know, the industrial play.
Well, having,
maybe it is longer term.
Carter, having said that, just 20 seconds left here, though, if indeed we do get this massive infrastructure spending, though, that could be good for, that would be expected to be good for industrials.
Sure. So the question is, first of all, we don't know if it's coming. People are
right.
betting that it
timing.
Will. But
how
the question
much?
Is, how much has been already discounted?
Right. How much is already factored in there?
Right.
Good stuff. Interesting to look at that relationship. Carter, thank you so much. Carter Wirth, he's head of technical analysis at Cornerstone Macro, has been writing Money in Motion for a while here, joining us on the phone in New York City. All right, you are listening to Bloomberg Markets. We'll get another check on today's trading session, just about 20 minutes away from that closing bell. And also, we're going to talk about equity investing, private equity investing in software technology with a group that opened up a big tech fund just back in September. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio. Up in September, private equity firm Thoma Bravo announced that it raised its biggest ever fund to pursue more tech deals, almost $8 billion worth. We're going to talk about that. That's coming up in just a moment.